And those that die in the Lord, they have something secure for them. They have an absolute secure salvation. They're sealed by the Holy Spirit. But those that are not in the Lord, that's a different story for them. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16, where we're talking about, in about verse 19 there, he said there was a certain rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now, we're going to say that this right here represents that certain rich man. He said then that there was a beggar named Lazarus that lay at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And the Bible goes on to say there that the rich man died, and in hell, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell lift up his eyes in torments and saw Lazarus afar off. I must say that these two here then represent two people in the Old Testament scriptures. This one here represents the rich man. This represents the poor man. Now, we'll start with the poor man here. He said this man was named Lazarus. He says that the man, the dogs came and licked his sores and whatever. And he says that he died. Well, when this man died, he couldn't go up to heaven. And the reason that he couldn't go up to heaven is because his sins were not paid for. Turn in your Bible, please, to Hebrews, and look in Hebrews chapter 10. All right, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not of the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? In other words, if they would have offered a blood sacrifice there that would have perfected them, would there be any need to do it over again? There'd be no point to do it over again. They would have ceased to offer them if they'd have been made perfect by that sacrifice. Verse 2, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. All right, this is an Old Testament saint back here. This man is an Old Testament saint back there, saw the law and recognized what the law said to him. Now, the Bible is clear about this. Turn back in Leviticus chapter 1, please. In Leviticus chapter 1, verse 1, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you should bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for sin. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood around about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and on and on. Now, this man here then realizes that he needs a sacrifice. Now, God Almighty never told him to offer a blood sacrifice. God Almighty told him, if he brings a sacrifice, this is the sacrifice that he's to bring. And in chapters 1 through 7, he lists the different sacrifices that could be brought. Now, why would the man need a sacrifice in the first place? Because the law declared him to be a sinner. This man here he was in the crowd when they went to Mount Sinai, and God gave the law through Moses, and the law declared this man to be a sinner. The law said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and that fellow is left condemned by that fact. Now, you think about that. The law said, love God with all your heart. Now, you don't love God with all your heart. Nobody ever did but Jesus Christ. The law said, love God with all your soul. Your soul is the seat of emotions, and therefore, emotionally, and every other way, your every affection should be toward the Lord himself. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. To love God with all your mind would be that you think on nothing but the things of God. David said, in thy law I meditate day and night. You'd be meditating upon the things of God day and night. Your mind would be upon God, and everything you'd do for God. And he said, and all thy strength. If you love God with all your strength, then all the work that you did, you'd do for God. In other words, God would be foremost. He'd be number one in your life, in every facet of your life. And yet that is not true. This man here knows what the law says. The law declares him to be guilty, according to Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. The Bible said that the law was given that every mouth should be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Well, then all the world out there are guilty before God. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, cursed is the man that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. In other words, the law places a curse upon those people who claim to be keeping it. Think. Do you know anybody right now that claims to be under the law? Do you know anybody that claims to be keeping the commandments? Those people are under a curse. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. They're under a curse. If you believe that you can get to heaven by being good, you're under a curse. Cursed is everyone that continues not. Now, the Bible said that the law was given that every mouth may be stopped. It's like as if God said, if you read the law and saw what was in it, you'd shut up. Just think with me now. It said that every mouth might be stopped. All the people that are spouting off about how good they are, the law says, shut up. There is none good, no, not one. There's not a just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible's clear on these things. Why, the Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Why, your heart is wicked. That fellow's got a wicked heart. He's got a wicked mind. That's an evil man there. And yet, he's under the law. And so what does he do? Well, he goes and gets a blood sacrifice, and he brings that animal to the priest. The priest lays his hands on it. He puts his hands on the head of that animal, signifying by doing this that his sins is passing to that animal. And then they cut the head of the animal off and catch the blood in a basin. And that priest offers that sacrifice for him. And that sacrifice, though, cannot take away his sin, the Bible said. It only covers his sin over. And he's not made perfect. If he would have been made perfect by the sacrifice of that sin, the Bible said he wouldn't need to ever do it again. And so this poor man here, he's a believer, and he dies. When he dies, though, he can't go up to glory. Why? Well, sins aren't paid for. But he can't go into hell. We'll say hell is over here somewhere. He can't go into hell. Why? He's a believer. He believes God. He believes in God. He brings the sacrifices that is required and whatever. And therefore, when he dies, he goes down into the heart of the earth. Now, the Bible said the rich man also died. Well, how about the rich man? Well, the rich man knows what to do, but he doesn't do it. I believe the rich man's named in the Bible three times. I believe that he's referred to when Jesus Christ said that the Bible says that there was this rich man that came running to Jesus Christ, and he fell down on his knees, and he said, good master, what good thing must I do that I might have eternal life? And Jesus Christ said, keep the commandments. He said, well, I've kept the commandments all my life. What I lack now? And Jesus Christ said, well, you lack one thing. Go and sell what you've got and give to the poor and come follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven. But the Bible said that fellow went away sorrowful. In other words, he wanted eternal life, all right, but he didn't want to give up everything that he had. You understand that, don't you? Jesus Christ said if you sum up the whole law into two statements, those two statements would be love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. You understand? love God with all your heart and love your neighbors yourself? Well, if you loved your neighbors yourself, what would you have left? If he'd have been keeping the commandments, he'd been giving away everything he had. But he didn't do that. I believe you find him again in about Luke chapter 12, I think's where it is there. And this fellow sitting there, and he's looking out at his fields out there, and he said, "My, I'm just making so much this year, I don't know what I'm going to do with all this stuff. My barns are not big enough to hold all this stuff that I make." He said, "I know what I'll do. I'll tear down the barns I've got now, and I'll build bigger barns. And then I'll store up all my goods, and I'll relax, and I'll say, eat, drink, be merry." But God said, "Thou fool. This night shall thy soul be required of thee, and then who shall these things be?" And I challenge you to think about that. I believe that man is the same fellow that ran away from Jesus there, wouldn't sell out. He's got his affection on things of the world and not on the things of the Lord. And then the next scene, I believe he's in Luke 16, there was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. I mean, he's got it made. He comes in the gate out there, and there's that beggar laying there. And that beggar's got his hand out. And that fellow, when he comes in, he just kicks him and says, "Get out of my way, you bum. Go someplace else," and on and on and on. You understand something? He knew the beggar. He recognized the beggar. He saw him day in and day out. The Bible said he fared sumptuously and so forth. But the Bible said that the rich man died. Well, when the rich man died, he couldn't go up to heaven. Why? Why, he doesn't even believe the things of God. He didn't do what the Lord told him to do, and on and on. And he was buried, all right? They put him in a tomb somewhere. They put him in a fancy box, and they say a lot of pretty words over him. Most times they don't mean what they say while they're saying them, you know. Okay? The rich man died, and he's buried, and the Bible said in hell he lifted up his eyes in torments. All right, this fellow went to hell, and you'll notice that I got the thing down on the board up here. Now, turn please in your Bible to Ephesians. Well, let's see. Turn first to Acts and look in Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching to the people on the day of Pentecost, and you will notice that he's discussing David. Notice in verse 25, "For David speaketh concerning him," concerning the Lord. "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope." In other words, my flesh then is going into a grave somewhere, and my flesh is going to be at rest in hope due to the fact that the Savior is going to come sometime in the future out there. All right, he said, "My flesh shall rest in hope." Verse 27, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriot David, that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, David, seeing this," the resurrection of Christ, "before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." In other words, when Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ went down to hell, wherever that is, he went there. Now notice something else about this passage in verse 34. The Bible said, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand." And in spite of the fact that Peter said that David had not ascended into heaven, there are people today that preach that Jesus Christ died, went down into paradise, got the Old Testament saints out of there, and led them out of there and carried them up with him. Well, I've got a problem with that thing. If Jesus Christ went down and got them, and if David is the king of Israel, and the Bible says that he is, and the Bible assures me in Ezekiel that David is going to sit upon his throne in the millennium, well, if that be the case, why did he lead David down there? Well, see, the whole thing in a nutshell is that Jesus Christ didn't lead those people out from down there, but he went anyway. Turn, please, to Ephesians. In Ephesians, and look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Ephesians 4, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Not just in a tomb somewhere. He went down in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Well, then, when Jesus Christ died on Calvary, Jesus Christ went down into the heart of the earth. Now, I'm going to say that this right here represents that place down there in the heart of the earth. That place down there in the Bible is referred to as several different things. In the Old Testament, this is referred to as Sheol. In the New Testament, this is referred to as Hades. But you know, this word right here just literally means hell. I mean, no matter how you fix it, it ends up being hell. I never heard anybody use this word here, did you? I mean, I've seen a lot of people talk about how hot it was, but I have never noticed anybody saying, boy, it sure is hot as Hades today. Well, a man believed in hell. I bet you believe in hell. You know, there's some people say, I don't believe in hell. Why do they use it all the time then? Refer to it. The rich man went down to hell. Where is hell? It's down into the lower parts of the earth. Now, the Bible said that Jesus Christ died for our sins on Calvary. Now, that's clear in the Bible. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel of Christ is the power whereby God will save your never-dying soul, if you believe it. See, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What is that gospel? That Christ died for our sins and that he was buried. All right, Jesus Christ, as he hung upon the cross, he cried with a loud voice, and the Bible says that as he hung there, that he bowed his head, and he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and he gave up the ghost and died. You know, that thing was so real until there was a man standing right there beside that cross, and that fellow looked up there and saw what Jesus Christ was doing and heard what he said, and that fellow said, truly, this is the Son of God. Now, why did he say a thing like that? Well, that man is a captain in the army. That fellow has probably seen people with their heads chopped off, killed by their heads cut off. He's probably seen men take a sword and cut somebody from the top of the head right through and split them in half. He's probably seen them run over by chariots, stomped by horses, and killed in every filthy and ungodly way that you could imagine. But you know what? What is there about a man dying then that would make him say, truly this is the Son of God? Why, when Jesus Christ said that, he said, I into thy hands I commend my spirit, and he died. Well, that man had never seen anybody just give up and die. You know that? You can't do that. You can't just die. Why, you could commit harakiri, blow your brains out, dynamite yourself, or whatever. You can't just die. You won't try. You just hold your breath until you pass out, and then God Almighty puts something in you that'll take over after a while, and you start breathing again, and there you are. You're back to life. You can't just give up and die. Why, Jesus Christ just gave up and died. You know why? He died for you. Before Jesus Christ went to Calvary, he knew all about you. As he hung on Calvary, he knew who you were. God the Father knew that you would hear the gospel and knew that you would believe the gospel. And knowing that you would believe the gospel, Jesus Christ said, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and died for your sins. The Bible said that God made him to be sin for us, him who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Your sin was nailed to Calvary. Jesus Christ became your sin, and your sin was nailed to Calvary there, and God poured out his wrath on your sin on Calvary. All right, they took Jesus Christ down off of that cross there, and they put him in a tomb. But you'll notice that that tomb is on top of the ground. It's so on top of the ground that men walked into it. It's not down under the ground. And so they prepared him for burial, and they put him in that tomb. But when Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ left his body hanging on that cross up there, and he went down into paradise. Jesus Christ went down into the place of departed spirits. Down there are bars down there. In fact, of the business, on the one side over there was the rich man and all the people that died without Jesus Christ and died without God and died without believing in God, and those that right now that don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior and whatever, they're all down there. And then on the other side is Abraham's bosom over there. And there's a gulf fixed between them so that those from over here could see these people over here in peace and contentment, but these over here can't see over there. I've had some people laugh about that. They say that's absolute nonsense. Well, there's no nonsense with that. Isn't it fascinating that men believe today that man can figure out a way so that you can walk up to a door and see everything that's going on in a room, but you can get on the other side and you can't see what's going on out there? Why, it's so simple now, until I've got a van out there right now that you can walk out there and look in that thing, and you can't see in it, but you can get inside and look out and see who's trying to look in at you. Why, they're in a place down there underneath where you're sitting, so the rich man is in hell over there, and he's looking over to paradise. He can see over there, and he recognizes Lazarus. Why, he walked by him day after day. Lazarus, with his hand out, is begging him for food, and he kicks him out of the way, and he won't help him or anything. He recognized the man, and he said, "Father Abraham." Why did he say Father Abraham? Because the man knew enough Bible to know about paradise and know about Abraham's bosom. Why, he knew about Saul and Samuel back there. He knew that old Saul came to the witch of Endor and asked her, said, "Bring up a person for me." And this old gal, she had never done this before in her life. I mean, she'd con people into believing that she'd have a seance, you know, and bring somebody back. And so she began to do a thing there. And just like that, somebody shows up. And that old gal, like, had a heart attack. She begins to scream. And Saul said, "What is it? What's happening there?" And she said, "I see God's ascending up out of the earth." And Samuel is there. And Saul said, "Well, what does this fellow look like?" And she said, "It's an old gray-headed man, and he's covered with a mantle." And Saul said, "Well, that's Samuel." And you know what Samuel said? Samuel, who had died now before this, Samuel said, "Saul, why has thou disquieted me to bring me up?" Why, when old Samuel died, he left his body on earth and went down into the heart of the earth. He went down to Abraham's bosom. He went down to paradise, and he went to sleep down there. And God Almighty woke him up so that he could give a message to Saul, and he came up, gave the message to Saul, went back down there. When David, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, when all of them died, they went down there. When Jesus Christ died, the Bible said that he preached to the spirits down there. And there are two sides to that thing. Now, this thing has bars. In fact, the business over there in the book of Revelation, he says that he has the keys to hell and death. Jonah said the bars of the earth were about me forever. Then there are bars, there are gates and doors down there. Why, you know the gates down there. Why, Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 16, he said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it." You ever notice that? There are gates down there in hell. Jesus Christ got the keys. And so Jesus Christ went down there, and he went over there, and he unlocked the gate to hell, and walked in there, and the Bible said he preached to the spirits in prison who once were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Those people that rejected God in the days of Noah, refused to believe and whatever, died in the flood and went down to hell down there, and they're screaming in hell. And so Jesus Christ went over there and he unlocked the gates and walked in there, and I don't know what he said to them fellas, but I got an idea. I got an idea. He said, "The day of your trial is set as," and gave them the date. and said, your judgment is just and your punishment will be just, and locked the door and left. And that's the way it is. There is a day in the future out there that every lost person in hell is going to be judged before an honest and a just judge and give an account of all their deeds. And so Jesus Christ goes across the other side, unlocks the door over there and walks in. There's old David, there's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob over there, and he woke them all up. And I don't know what he said to them, but I got an idea. In fact, the Bible said he preached the gospel to them. I imagine Jesus Christ said, you fellows in here offer the lamb sacrifices, the blood sacrifices back there, couldn't take away sin? Yep. You do that looking forward to the coming Messiah, the Son of God? Yep, I'm him. I bet they started jumping up and clapping their hands and kicking and screaming and running around down there. I bet there was a revival down there like you ain't never heard of. And Jesus Christ said, sorry about that, fellas. I just came down here to give you hope and show you what's going to be, and it ain't going to be long. Just relax. Go back to sleep. And he left. And he came up 3 days and three nights later, entered into his body, and rose from the dead as a sign and a proof to anybody that if they will believe on Jesus Christ, they too can rise from the dead. Now, I'm interested about this fellow right here for just a moment. You need to think about that fellow a minute. That fellow right there, no doubt that's a Bible believer. You understand that? Why, the Bible said the devils believe and tremble. They believe in God. That fellow right there believed in God. That fellow believed in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That fellow believed that Abraham is the father of all the Jews. Therefore, I know he's a Jew because he called him father. He said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am tormented in this flame. Then that tells me that there is flame in hell. That tells me that the people who die immediately just like that fall into hell. They die, their body is put into a grave, but shoom, like that, down they go, and they fall into flames. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, in effect, I can't do anything for you, neither can Lazarus. While there's a gulf fixed between us, he can't go to where you are, and you can't come to where I am. And he said, all right, in that case, then send him back and give him, tell him to go to my brethren. I've got five brethren, and warn them lest they come to this awful place of torment. And he said, well, they've got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, but they don't believe Moses and the prophets. He said, well, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, neither would they believe though one rose from the dead. And one did, and people still don't believe. Now, you understand something. There is torture down there, and where is it? It's right under where you're sitting. If you could pull the wall out and pull the floor out and look down in there, there would be moaning and groaning that would make your hair stand on end. There would be an odor that would come up out of the pit of hell that would make you sick, that you would vomit immediately. You couldn't stand that. In fact, Jesus, in describing hell, said that he described Gehenna. He said it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And there is a place outside of Jerusalem was at that time, and anybody who had leprosy, they were burned on fire. They were dragged to a place, Gehenna, and they're put in a garbage dump out there, and there was a smoldering fire that burned out there, and worms, maggots worked in there and everything, and they burned and they worked in there and whatever, and that's the way he described hell. If you could look into hell right now, you'd have a heart attack. You'd faint. You couldn't stand it. The moans and the groans and the screeches and the squealing and the yelling that would come out of there would turn your blood cold. Couldn't stand that. That's the reason that people don't preach on hell anymore. Nobody likes to hear about hell. That's the reason that there's some people that are trying to air condition the place. But you can't air condition hell. I mean, it's just as hot right now. You know that fellow that died today without Jesus Christ is screaming in hell right now. You realize that? Do you understand me? Do you understand that right under where you're sitting right now, somewhere down there in the depths of the earth, there are men that are squealing and moaning, and the Bible said nursing their teeth, they're chewing their tongues, and they can't stop. Ever and ever and ever. Say, well, that's just unfair. There isn't anything unfair about that. That is totally fair. You know what they said? They said, I'd rather go to hell than to trust Jesus Christ and go to heaven. How many times have I ever had people say to me, well, Brother Moore, I may go to hell, but I won't be alone. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. What comfort is there in going to hell with a trainload of people? I mean, what comfort is it having somebody down there hold your hand? Well, there ain't nobody going to hold your hand. Well, that dude's going to be screaming and squealing at the same time and wanting water and burning and flames around and move out of this place and go over here and it's hot there and over there. You know, I think about when I was a boy on a farm back there. We'd go out and work all day out there, and at 11:30 in the morning, my mother rang a dinner bell. And we'd come in. And you know, you got in the shade. You got in where it's cool. You got to drink good old cold iced tea and stuff like that and whatever. And you sit around in there and rest and take it easy a while before you go back out. But you to think about something. You know anything right now that's bothered you? Anything that's been pesky and you were so glad when it was gone? Well, that man in hell never, ever, ever rests. The Bible said there is no rest for the wicked. The Bible said the wicked are like the troubled sea that cannot rest. They are screaming, they are weeping, and they are wailing, and they are yelling, and they are gnashing their teeth, and it's a horrible sight. And you know what? We sit around and twiddle our thumbs. When people right and left are dying in automobile accidents, they're dying with heart attacks. They're dying every way imaginable and going to fall off into hell. And we talk about love. Go on. You tell me that somebody was burning in a house and you could get them out. You love them. You wouldn't try to get them out of there. Well, you know, that tells me that a lot of people don't believe in hell. If you really believe, why, there was a man in England one time told a fellow, he said, if I believe what you say you believe, I'd crawl, if it had to be, on glass all over this country and tell people about that place of horror. What will you do about it? What will you suffer? What will you give up? What will you deny yourself in order to warn somebody not to go to that awful place of torment? There's a place called hell. It's right under where you're sitting, and there's more scripture references to it than there are heaven in the Bible. You know that? Jesus Christ talked about hell more than he talked about going to heaven. Why, he said that you'd be better off to cut off your arm, pluck out your eye, and cut off your leg, and go through the rest of your life with one arm, one leg, and one eye, than to go into hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. People are going to hell every day. You understand that? What are you going to do about it? You have any idea you'd tell anybody about Jesus Christ tomorrow? You have any idea that you'd make an extra effort to tell somebody about hell? Would you be embarrassed to tell your friends at a party that there's a hell burning right under where they're having that party? I mean, they say, we're going to have a toast. So I'll join in that. Let me give the toast. I want to make a toast to all them that's burning in hell right now. They'd love a drink of this. Will you toast them? They're burning in hell. They're squealing there now. They want a drink of water right now. Bottoms up. I mean, I reckon you could kill the party right fast like that, or get killed. But listen to me. Would you go to any end? What would you do to keep somebody from going to hell? Think about it. What have you been doing? Anything? Just sitting around, twiddling your thumbs? Well, it isn't important anymore. Used to be. Preachers used to preach on hell all the time. I don't hardly ever hear about it anymore. Unless somebody's using their, just cussing, you know, carrying on. Rich man in hell screaming down there. All right, let's look at the other side of this thing. Over here, I'm going to say that this over here represents a lost man. In the dispensation of grace, I'm going to say this over here represents a saved man in the dispensation of grace. How about the saved man? How did he get saved? Well, this man got saved by believing that Jesus Christ died for sin. Did you ever notice that the Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? Did you ever notice that everything that you have in Christ is based upon identification with him where your faith is concerned? In other words, by faith you identify yourself with the fact that he died at Calvary. By faith you identify yourself with the fact that he went into the tomb. By faith you identify yourself with the fact that he rose from the dead. Therefore, you reckon yourself to have died at Calvary, been buried, rose from the dead, ascended up, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. You know, I was born having been crucified, buried, and risen. Do you ever think about that? Well, I was born back there a whole bunch of years ago, and when I was born, I already had died in Christ because I was going to trust him as my Savior. And so I had died, been buried, risen, and I was already seated at the right hand of the Father before I ever got born. Ain't that something? Salvation is by grace through faith. He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe, 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 believe. He said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And Paul said, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Can you remember a time when you ever received Jesus Christ? I mean, you talk about believing on Jesus Christ. Abraham believed in God and believed God before he ever believed God for righteousness. You ever think about that? Why, God Almighty said, Abraham, leave your people over there and come into a land that I'll show you. And Abraham gathered everything together and went into that land. After old Abraham got over there, though, God ain't counted him righteous yet. Why, he obeyed God. He's doing what God told him to do. And he got over there and God said, Abraham, there's a day coming when your seed are going to outnumber the stars of heaven. And Abraham believed God and he reckoned it to him for righteousness. In other words, he believed in God, but then believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. How long have you been believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins? I believe that all my life. But I didn't believe it for salvation until July the 22nd, 1955. I bet you I'm talking to somebody in this room right now that all your life you've believed in the crucifixion of Christ, the burial and resurrection, but can you remember a day when you recognized the fact you never had really made this thing real? It never become a personal thing to you. And on that given day, you received Christ. You claimed him as your Savior right then and there. You said, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, right now I'm going to nail this thing down. When did you ever believe on Jesus Christ to save your soul? I'm not just talking about believe the historical record that Christ died. Why, there are millions of people out there believe that Jesus Christ is a good man that came and that Jesus Christ died was buried and the people say he rose from the dead. They believe the historical record, but they never believed on him as their Savior. When did you ever turn your salvation over to him, totally commit yourself to him, and say, if Jesus Christ don't save me from hell, I'll burn there sure as anything? Why, most people I know of today, religious-minded people, don't believe they've ever been bad enough to go to hell anyway. People don't like to talk about going to hell, do they? Do you remember a time when you received Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? I do. This fellow right here trusted Jesus. Given day, at a given place, somewhere, that fellow right there realized he was lost, and knowing that, he claimed Christ his Savior. I don't know if he said, Lord, save me. I don't know exactly how he did it, but he did it. He saved. And so he died. When he dies, what happens to it? The body, the Bible said, absent the body and present of the Lord. Already goes up. Why? Jesus Christ has gone up there. Jesus Christ cleared out for him and prepared that fellow goes up there. And so he goes up there and he rests up there just like Abraham rested down there. You see that fellow there? That fellow, he don't believe on Jesus his Savior. That fellow lost. Why is he lost? Because he's bad? No. He ain't no worse than this fellow over here. Both of them bad. Ain't neither one of them worth the gunpowder to take to blow them into hell in the first place. But that fellow right there rejects Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the man right there that is religious You know, he never went to church or anything, or Bible class, but he remembered the day that he walked the aisle back there years ago and all that kind of business, you know, and he got baptized, and later on he got confirmed, and he had the Lord's Supper, and he had this and that and the other, and I mean, you know, he's had it all. He's just got one bad problem. You know what that is? That old boy's dead in trespasses and sin. That's what his problem is. He's lost, unsaved, and he died. He's just like the rich man. When he died, they bury him, and in hell, he lifts up his eyes in torment, and he burns in hell. He just falls off into hell and starts screaming down there. Well, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, he said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face heaven and earth fled away, and there was no found no place for them." He said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books was open, and another book was open, which is the book of life." And he said the dead were judged according to those things written in the books, according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is a day coming when heaven and earth is going to pass away, and there won't be any place to hide. I mean, it's not going to necessarily be a resurrection. It's just that the bones and everything, the people that are in the graves today, there aren't going to be any graves then. I mean, shown like that, they're just going to be gone. The earth is gone, the heavens are gone, the elements burn with a fiery heat, and shown, everything is gone, and every lost individual is going to find themselves standing facing the judge and creator of this universe. They're going to look Jesus Christ dead in the eye and give an account for all the dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten things they ever said. If you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, just let me lay it on you right now. There ain't no way you're going to get away without facing him. You just well to do it now and get it over with, because you shall face him one way or the other. There ain't any way I can be kind about that. You can reject him right now, and the sorriest, filthiest, crummiest thing you could do in your life would be reject Jesus Christ after he died for you. You know that? But they're going to stand there, and they're going to look at Jesus Christ, the one that they hated, the one that they denied, the one that they rejected, the one that they believe they're good enough to get by without trusting him, and they're going to give an account for not having received him, give an account for every evil thing they said about it. Why, you think about it. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you're going to have to give an account for him, to him for everything you ever looked at. Every time you lusted with your eyes, you're going to have to give an account for that. Why, the Bible said, "He that looketh upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her in his heart." If you're here without Jesus Christ, you're going to have to give an account for every place you ever put your hand when you thought nobody knew about it. Everything you ever took, you thought nobody knew about it. Everything you ever said, and you thought nobody heard it. Every evil thought you ever had, you're going to stand there and give an account for him, so that by your deeds, it can be determined the depth of the torment in the lake of fire you'll suffer. Just as this man, later on, will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and it'll be determined his realm of glory. If you're without Christ, there's a day you're going to stand before God, and it'll be determined in that day your realm of pain and misery and degradation in the lake of fire. And make no mistake about it. Why, he said there'll a man come there that day and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and done many wonderful works in thy name?" And Jesus Christ said, "Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you." Jesus Christ said to the angels, "Take this individual and cast him into the lake of fire, and you shall go off into the lake of fire and burn forever and ever." And the Bible said the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 66 that there is be a day coming when the saved can go to a place and look upon the carcasses of those that reject Jesus Christ as they burn in that lake. Why, you don't want to go there. and you don't want anybody else to go there. If you've got an ounce of compassion in you at all, you don't want nobody in hell. I mean, you know some folks, you can turn around right now. But that person that dies without Jesus can't turn around. Don't you understand that? I mean, you can stop right now. You can turn around. You can change your mind. You can change jobs. You can apologize for something you did bad. You can repent. But once they die without Jesus Christ, there ain't no turning back. Don't you understand that? It's in this life or never. Receive Jesus Christ. And if you know somebody that's never received Jesus Christ, tell them about it. Let them know. But tell them about hell. You don't have to sweet talk people into heaven. For the Bible said some have compassion, making a difference. Others saved with fear.